The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Wednesday, April 10th. We're talking about one of the strictest abortion bans in the country, now allowed because of a law passed back in the 19th century. Also, remember the rare case of parents being held responsible for their son's school shooting? We'll tell you how long they'll spend in prison now. And another setback for Boeing as a whistleblower brings up new safety concerns. Plus, what to know if your eyes have been bothering you ever since this week's eclipse, how the U.S. is cracking down on toxins released at chemical plants, and the first change in 75 years coming to a classic game. Those stories and even more news to know in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Here's another sign of abortion shaking up battleground states this election year. This week, Arizona's Supreme Court decided to ban nearly all abortions. Before now, abortion in Arizona had been allowed through 15 weeks of pregnancy under a law passed 2 years ago. But in this week's decision, the state's high court said the recent law did not override one dating back to 1864, before Arizona was a state. That one banned abortion at all stages of pregnancy except in life-saving situations. And now the 160-year-old ban is set to become enforceable in 2 weeks, making Arizona the 15th state to ban abortion at any stage. Granted, nearly every state ban on abortion has been challenged with a lawsuit, and some courts have blocked enforcing certain restrictions. In Arizona, there's still a statewide petition campaign to put the issue on the ballot this fall. So, to be continued. The parents of a teenager who shot several of his classmates in Michigan are now facing their own punishment. James and Jennifer Crumbly were each sentenced to between 10 to 15 years in prison. This wraps up a case that many legal experts say could set a precedent for charging parents with serious crimes because of actions taken by their children. Both Crumblys were convicted of involuntary manslaughter in separate trials earlier this year. Their son, Ethan Crumbly, pleaded guilty to murder and was sentenced to life in prison without parole for the school shooting that killed 4 people and hurt 7 others. During his parents' trials, prosecutors argued they ignored signs their son was seriously troubled, bought him a handgun, and did not properly secure it. And at the sentencing hearing, families of the people who were killed at the hands of Ethan Crumbly confronted the Crumblys to detail the horrific toll the tragedy took on their lives. But the Crumblys tried to argue they, too, were victims of their son, who manipulated them into buying the gun and that they did not realize he'd use it to kill people. And their defense attorneys insisted they were not a threat to the public. Well, a judge handed down the sentence anyway, telling the Crumblys they ignored things that, quote, make a reasonable person feel the hair on the back of their neck stand up. Now they're both likely to appeal their sentences. A former Boeing engineer is raising new concerns about more jets. He pointed to problems in the construction of the 787 Dreamliner and 777 jets, saying structural deficiencies could cause the aircraft to suddenly fail. And the engineer's lawyers say when he brought these issues up internally, he was, quote, threatened and silenced. On the other side, Boeing called those accusations inaccurate. A company spokesman admitted some manufacturing changes were made, but said there has been extensive testing and that there's been no impact on the durability or safety of the aircraft. Still, the FAA has launched an investigation to look into the whistleblower's claims. And the whistleblower will be testifying in Congress later this month. Of course, this just adds another element to the intense scrutiny Boeing has been facing ever since a door panel flew off a Boeing 737 MAX jet during an Alaska Airlines flight earlier this year. Already, the plane maker has announced a leadership overhaul, and the Justice Department has begun a criminal investigation. More Iranian weapons will now be used against one of Iran's close allies. The U.S. decided to transfer thousands of machine guns, sniper rifles, rocket launchers, and hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition it seized from Iran. And it will all go to Ukraine to use to defend itself against Russia. As you know, Ukraine has been dealing with shortages of weapons and munitions on the battlefield. and the U.S. hasn't been able to send much more equipment of its own while more funding is held up in Congress. But the American military says this latest transfer could help bridge the gap. The White House is hosting one of its key allies this week. President Biden is welcoming Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida for an official visit and formal state dinner today. The prime minister has also been invited to address a joint meeting of Congress tomorrow. ABC News cites senior administration officials who say during this visit, the U.S. and Japan will make historic announcements. Many of them will apparently focus on deepening defense ties and furthering cooperation between Japan and other allies. In fact, the president of the Philippines will be joining Biden and Kishida tomorrow. There will also be new cooperation in space, artificial intelligence, quantum computing, climate change, and more. And much of it is likely meant to counter China's rising economic and military power. Stay tuned. Much more news for you still ahead. But first, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever wish you had more time? I'm guessing for most of us, the answer is yes. And yet, the question is, what would you do if your time was unlimited? The best way to squeeze in those special things into your schedule is to actually know what's most important to you. Therapy can help you identify the things that matter and give you strategies to find that extra time in your life so you can do more of the things that fill your cup the most. And I can tell you from personal experience, this has a ripple effect across all aspects of your life. It's helped me feel like the best version of myself more often. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, so it's really convenient too. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newsworthy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Now back to the news. It seems this week's eclipse has a lot of people worried about their eyes. Google searches about hurt eyes spiked Monday afternoon, just after millions of Americans experienced the total solar eclipse. Experts say it's a valid concern for anyone who did not use proper protective glasses. They also say eye discomfort or pain in itself is not usually something to worry about. Vision problems, on the other hand, likely do need to be checked out. They suggest going to a doctor if you have symptoms like a blind spot, wavy lines, or blurry vision. All that said, cases of long-term damage after eclipses are not common. And even if the sun did damage your eyes, there is still a good chance you'll be able to recover just fine. For the first time in nearly two decades, the U.S. is setting stricter limits on chemical plant pollution. The EPA issued a new rule that requires more than 200 chemical plants to lower toxic emissions that are likely to cause cancer. More than 100,000 Americans live within about 6 miles of the facilities that use cancer-linked chemicals now, and they're disproportionately lower-income Black or Latino communities that have elevated rates of cancer, respiratory problems, and premature deaths. The new regulations say companies will have to monitor for toxic emissions and that all data gathered will have to be made public online. Then if the emissions go above the EPA's limit, the company will have to find the source of the pollution and make repairs. Some lawmakers and industry groups say the new rules are too much of a burden, and they question the EPA's assessment of the chemicals. For example, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce argued there's too much scientific uncertainty to justify the EPA's new rule. The EPA is expected to be challenged in court. Still, for now, the new rule is set to go into effect in 2 years. Rail company Norfolk Southern is now having to pay for last year's fiery train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. It agreed to settle a class action lawsuit for $600 million, though it still doesn't admit any wrongdoing or liability. Remember, 38 train cars derailed near the Ohio-Pennsylvania state line. 11 of them were carrying hazardous chemicals, and the derailed cars triggered a massive fire that sent toxic smoke into the air. Now, this deal will resolve all claims within a 20-mile radius of the derailment. At this point, it's not clear how much each individual, household, or business might receive. But lawyers involved in the case say there will be substantial compensation. A judge still needs to approve the settlement for it to be finalized. One of the world's most loved word games is getting a revamp to be a little less intimidating. Mattel says it's going to launch a new version of Scrabble. It will come with a new double-sided Scrabble board, with one side still featuring the original game for those who want to play the classic version. The flip side, though, will include helper cards, use a simpler scoring system, and be quicker to play. The new board will also allow people to compete in teams. It's called Scrabble Together Mode. Mattel says it decided to offer the option since research has shown younger generations are less competitive than earlier generations, and that young people would much rather play games with teamwork and collaboration. This new version is rolling out in Europe now. So far, no word on when it might be coming to the U.S. The winningest coach in college basketball history has decided to call it a career. Stanford women's coach Tara Vanderveer announced her retirement this week after 45 years as a head coach. She finishes with more than 1,200 career victories, more than any other coach, women's or men's. In her time at Stanford, Vanderveer led the team to 3 national championships and was named National Coach of the Year 5 times. She was also head coach of one of the greatest U.S. national teams in women's basketball history. But she doesn't take all the credit for her accomplishments. In her retirement announcement, Vanderveer said, quote, "Basketball is the greatest group project there is, and I am so incredibly thankful for every person who has supported me and our teams." Speaking of NCAA basketball, we now know the men's championship game drew a smaller TV crowd than the women's final for the first time. The women's title game actually brought in 90% more viewers than last year and 4 million more viewers than the men did this year. And several women's coaches say they believe the momentum will continue into next year as well, even with star player Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA. That's it for the main news today. So now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, this episode is brought to you by OneSkin. It is spring now, and I thought it was interesting to learn that our skin goes through a big transition between seasons, not just on the surface, but at the cellular level. So yes, protecting our skin against the sun's UV rays is important, but so is nurturing our skin even beyond that. OneSkin's products actually work from the inside out with their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. And I love when there's good data to back a product up. In a third-party 12-week clinical study performed by third-party research organization, OS1 Face, which I use every morning and night, by the way, was clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier, improve skin health markers, and diminish visible signs of aging. Wrinkles were diminished in 87% of users. And I can share that my personal experience aligns. I can truly tell the difference in how my skin looks and feels after just a few months of using it twice a day. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code NEWSWORTHY at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code NEWSWORTHY. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please be sure to support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. So it seems the hottest workplace trend lately is living nowhere near your office. Economists compiled the data and found the share of workers living at least 50 miles away from their offices increased by more than fivefold from 2019 to 2023. And the shift is mostly being driven by millennials. A new analysis found workers aged 30 to 35 live the furthest away from their workplaces. Economists do say that makes sense because of life stages, that millennials are in their prime years of buying homes and starting families and are choosing to do so far away from their jobs. Plus, many workers feel more established professionally in their 30s, giving them some leeway. Of course, it also depends on what field you work in. Those in the information, professional services, finance, and insurance sectors tend to live furthest away from their offices. And a lot of the trend has to do with employers offering their workers more flexibility to do their jobs remotely. But even many hybrid or full-time office workers are also moving away and choosing a long commute. Well, now economists expect this trend to continue. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing the show. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.